CD 6.
She was vaguely aware that there were things you had to do to a dead person to turn them into a zombie, although it was a branch of magic she'd never wanted to investigate. Yet you needed more than just a lot of weird fish innards and foreign roots. The person had to want to come back. They had to have some terrible dream or desire or purpose that would enable them to overcome the grave itself. Saturday's eyes burned. She reached a decision. She held out her hand.
"Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Saturday," she said, "and I'm sure I'd enjoy your lovely stew."
"It's called gumbo," said Nanny. "It's got ladies' fingers in it."
"I know well enough that ladies' fingers is a kind of plant, thank you very much," said Granny. "I am not entirely ignorant."
"All right, but make sure you get a helping with snake's heads in as well," said Nanny Og. "They're the best part."
"What kind of plant is snake's heads?"
"Best if you just eat up, I reckon," said Nanny.
They were sitting on the warped wood veranda around the back of Mrs. Goggle's shack, overlooking the swamp. Mossy beards hung from every branch. Unseen creatures buzzed in the greenery. And everywhere there were V-shaped ripples cutting gently through the water.
"I expect it's really nice here when the sun's out," said Nanny.
Saturday trudged into the shack and returned with a makeshift fishing pole, which he baited and cast over the rail. Then he sort of switched off. No one has more patience than a zombie. Mrs. Goggle leaned back in her rocking chair and lit her pipe.
"This used to be a great old city," she said.
"What happened to it?" said Nanny. Grebo was having a lot of trouble with Legba the cockerel. For one thing, the bird refused to be terrorised. Grebo could terrorise most things that moved upon the face of the Discworld, even creatures nominally much bigger and tougher than he was. Yet somehow none of his well-tried tactics, the yawn, the stare, and above all the slow grin, seemed to work. Legba merely looked down his beak at him and pretended to scratch at the ground in a way that brought his 2-inch spurs into even greater prominence. That only left the flying leap. This worked on nearly every creature. Very few animals remained calm in the face of an enraged ball of whirring claws in the face. In the case of this bird, Grebo suspected, it might well result in his becoming a furry kebab. But this had to be resolved, otherwise generations of cats would laugh at him. Cat and bird circled through the swamp, each apparently paying the other no attention whatsoever. Things gibbered in the trees, small iridescent birds barreled out through the air. Grebo glared up at them. He would sort them out later. And the cockerel had vanished. Grebo's ears flattened against his head. There was still the bird song and the whine of insects, but they were elsewhere. Here there was silence, hot, dark and oppressive, and trees were somehow much closer together than he remembered. Grebo looked around. He was in a clearing. Around its sides, hanging from bushes or tied to trees, were things. Bits of ribbon, white bones, tin pots. Perfectly ordinary things anywhere else. And in the centre of the clearing, something like a scarecrow. An upright pole with a crosspiece, on which someone had put an old black coat. Above the coat, on the tip of the pole, was a top hat. On top of the hat, watching him thoughtfully, was Legba. A breeze blew through the stifling air, causing the coat to flap gently. Grebo remembered a day when he'd chased a rat into the village windmill and had suddenly found that what had seemed merely a room with odd furniture in it was a great big machine which would, if he put a paw wrong, crush him utterly. The air sizzled gently. He could feel his fur standing on end. Grebo turned and stalked away haughtily until he judged himself out of sight, whereupon his legs spun so fast that his paws skidded. Then he went and grinned at some alligators, but his heart wasn't in it. In the clearing, the coat moved gently again, and then was still. Somehow that was worse. Legba watched. The air grew heavier, just as it does before a storm.
"This used to be a great old city. A happy place. No one tried to make it happy, it just happened all by itself," said Mrs. Goggle. "That was when the old Baron was alive, but he was murdered."
"Who done it?" said Nanny Og.
"Everyone knows it was the Duke," said Mrs. Goggle.
The witches looked at one another. Royal intrigues were obviously a bit different in foreign parts.
"Pecked to death, was he?" said Nanny.
"A foul deed," said Granny.
"The Duke is a title, not a bird," said Mrs. Goggle patiently. "The Baron was..."